south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Before we get into our very last, very un-PC segment about mating, dating, love, romance, and those famous, or I should say infamous, Latin Cupid and mating dating sites. If I beat all odds and finish that segment up today, I promise I'll never talk about it again. But it's something you gotta hear. And ladies, it's something you're not gonna like, but you really have to hear it. Don't you wanna know the viewpoint from the other side? Of course, I know I'm doing this at the risk of offending thousands of people out there. It's really politically incorrect. But do remember, the name of this show is The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, and we'll hit on everything connected with that theme. Even if it's disagreeable to snowflakes, liberals, conservatives, anyone. I mean, really, if you're serious or even curious about moving down here to Latin America, don't you want to know all the information that's out there? I mean, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great. As someone once said, I think it was me. But first, let's talk about getting the hell out of Dodge, a kind of a double whammy, because when you talk about that guy, Julian Assange, he's sort of a first world pariah amongst the New World Order types. But he's got an ever so solid Latin American connection too, which is good reason to talk about him since he's been living in the Ecuadorian embassy in London for what, 7 years or so? That's way past his freshness and spoilage date, huh? And man, do those inbred pus maggot politicians hate him, and mainstream media hates him too, which means we like him. In fact, we like him so much he just gave us reason 3007 through 97. Why you really have to get the hell out of Dodge in a hurry. Time is running out. Listen to this. In a very recent interview that you won't hear in mainstream media, he said, as of today, within a year of a child's birth, the world powers know all they need to know about that kid, and it's plenty. He blames U.S. and world passport applications and parents posting all manner of photos and data on Facebook, Instagram, etc. So proud parents who love to brag about their kids and push them in the limelight are aiding and abetting this process without even realizing it. He predicts soon there'll be a global cyber war as more and more hackers work to disrupt and bring down the system. He says it's the idiot parents that have made global surveillance of citizens unavoidable, thanks to social media addictions and the fact that nearly everything, including hospital data, credit info, banking, and filling out of forms, applications, and resumes done online. Then he repeats again that within the very first year after being born, the world has a giant dossier on every child. The main problem being it's impossible to stop their idiotic parents from posting every single detail on social media sites. By the way, he gave this interview, which the mainstream did not pick up on, at the World Ethical Data Forum in Barcelona, Spain. Speaking of online, that's how he gave the interview, because if he steps out of the Ecuadorian embassy in London, he'll be arrested immediately. Anyway, he goes on to say, this generation being born right now will be the last somewhat free generation on Earth. You are born and either immediately or say within a year, known, marked, and cataloged to the powers that be in the data collection agencies globally. And most disturbing is the fact that the child's parents are guilty of initiating and perpetuating it. Then he says, just wait, a global cyber war is coming too. He says with 100% confidence, there's a hacker attack coming that no one is going to be able to escape from. Then it says here, he's been living at the Ecuadorian embassy in London for the past 7 years, and now, despite an initial warm welcome from the Ecuadorian government, they're becoming tired and impatient of their outspoken guest, so much so that they're hoping he makes the next move and gets out of there. It's obvious they want him out since they cut off his phone and internet service and no longer permit visitors. However, he's been the greatest little publicity machine Ecuador has ever had. They never got such international press or mention before he arrived. Then there's this comment from one of Julian Assange's legal team members. Her name is Jennifer Robinson. She says, world major credit card companies and payment transfer services have banned WikiLeaks, cutting it off from donations the organization previously depended on to fight its legal battles. Then his lawyer says, what people don't know is that the director of the CIA last year openly stated that, quote, the attacks on WikiLeaks and Assange have not just been legal attacks. There have also been a vilification campaign around the WikiLeaks project and of Julian personally, staged overtly and covertly by prominent politicians in the mainstream media. And also, there's been a counterintelligence operation against him personally and the WikiLeaks organization, funded by the U.S. government and involving the CIA. And that means for all the little guys of the world with a brain, who've not done so yet, really have to think about putting that plan B in motion and getting the hell out of Dodge. Which begs the question, after you read something like that, can you even get out of Dodge anymore? Can you distance yourself enough so you're not so much affected? Because like you said, when the next big disruptive event hits, and it probably will be, as Assange says, hackers, bringing down financial systems, the grid, ATMs, whatever. It's true. Practically everyone on the planet will be affected in one way or another. So then what about those of us who have gotten out of Dodge already? Well, those of us who've made our home in Latin America will be affected somewhat, depending, of course, how much we're tied into the internet, the banking system, etc. But as far as day-to-day living, food, housing, water, the basics, the truth is, once you've moved to Latin America, unless you're directly on the gringo tourist trail, you kind of, in an odd way, become a prepper without even realizing it. Or more precisely, you're surrounded by locals who are in a prepper mode. But, of course, they don't know that. Because, you see, if the grid goes down and the ATMs don't work, the rainy season will keep on providing more clean water than you could ever use, and those giant food markets are going to keep on keeping on. Oh, sure, Costco and Walmart, they're down here, you know. They'll soon run out of junk imported from the U.S. and China. Cocoa Puffs, Fruit Loops, and Famous Amos cookies and all that. But do you really need that stuff? Bit by bit, it's killing you anyway. So bottom line, whatever terrorist or other nastiness goes down up in the States and the rest of the world, if your plan B brought you down to Latin America, you'll still have a nice house, water, food. And if you found the altiplano like I have and so many other expats have, you won't have a need for heating or air conditioning either. And man, as far as solar power, even if you have just a tiny system, you won't care one bit if the grid goes down. Because if you've got solar, you are the grid. But you knew that already, right? And speaking of getting out of Dodge, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of great Plan B destinations in Latin America. So with all those choices, that means you have to get quality boots on the ground way before you make your decision. And how do you do that? Well, unless you've got months and months of time on your hands to trek around here in Latin America, and still you'll spend most of that time spinning your wheels if you come down and try to do it on your own. The next best thing by far is to come to my January 2019 Expat Insider Seminar. The upcoming seminar will be a very special one. You know, they're all special, but this one's going to be extra special. Why is that? Well, I've been doing my Expat Insider Seminar since 2010, almost 9 years now. And one of the questions I often get is, why Guatemala? Why don't you do the seminar in another Latin country or two? And what about those famous Latin American beaches and the ocean coastline? It's true, people don't get to see nice beaches when they go to Guatemala, that's a fact. And of course, some people feel that's where they want to end up, on the beach. And in that case, when people really want to see what the beaches are like and what beach life can be here in Latin America, they end up staying on for a few more days and hooking up with the expat concierge service and they do the beach rounds. But it is true, Guatemala has ugly, dark sand beaches because of the volcanoes. And that can be a negative, for some a big negative. Well, you've heard me say that Guatemala is a perfect representation of a country that's way off the gringo tourist trail, and one that's on the U.S. State Department's travel feces list, too. And that generally means it's a very good Plan B destination. Thank you, State Department. That said, just a reminder, for all of you who are coming to this seminar and want to apply for your Guatemalan temporary or permanent residency, still one of the easiest and least expensive residency programs with the least amount of hoops to jump through. Plus, to maintain your residency for the 5 years it takes to move on to getting your passport, you only have to stay in the country 1 day per year. which is a big advantage if you're busy up in the States and can't make the time to stay down weeks or months at a time, as is the case with most other Latin residency programs. Meaning, if you're coming to the seminar and want to kill two birds with one stone, you'll be heading directly from the seminar in El Salvador to Guatemala, as will all you seminar attendees that elect to go to the John Galt post-trip tour, which will also be in Guatemala. Of course, we'll be providing the transportation from El Salvador to Guatemala. So if you're going for residency and or attending the John Galt trips, you'll be spending some extra days in Guatemala after the main seminar in El Salvador. So let me repeat, if you wish to apply for Guatemalan temporary or permanent residency, be sure to plan on staying another week immediately after the seminar, because you'll have to be available at short notice to run back and forth to government offices and such. And don't worry, once you're in Guatemala, you won't be stuck in a hotel for a week waiting to get that residency paperwork signed, because you can avail yourself of the very special extended John Galt trip at that time. So if you take the John Galt trip, you'll not only be touring the most beautiful lake in the world, Lake Atitlan, and all the little towns around it, you'll be visiting Antigua, Guatemala, a UNESCO World Heritage Site, an unbelievable little gem, and you'll be visiting the very desirable burbs in and around Guatemala City. Those are the places and neighborhoods I highly recommend to check out if you're going to live down here permanently. By the way, those are some of the places our expat seminar attendees who've moved down to Latin America live right now. Like, for example, Oscar, our famous Bitcoin miner, and the very famous, the world-famous Bitcoin Dan. And, of course, yours truly and many others. So come on down to the seminar, get the fire hose treatment, take in the John Galt trips, and maybe apply for residency, too. So bottom line, you can come just for the six-day seminar itself. That means you'll be flying in and departing from the airport in El Salvador. Of course, that's subject to change. I'm working on that right now, but it looks like it's going to be the plan. I'll have that figured out in a couple days. So if the final plan is to fly into El Salvador, don't know if that's 100% sure yet. If in that case you also plan on filing for residency in Guatemala and or you sign up for that special John Galt trip, you'll fly into El Salvador, we'll do the seminar there, then we'll go by land to Guatemala, you'll do the residency thing and or the John Galt trip, and you'll fly back home from the international airport in Guatemala City. Of course, we'll make all the arrangements and accommodations for you and hold your hand all along the way. So again, if you're just coming to the seminar, you'll be flying into El Salvador and flying out of El Salvador. If you're coming to the seminar and applying for residency in Guatemala and or taking the extended version of the John Galt post-seminar trip, you'll be flying into El Salvador and flying out back home from Guatemala City. That's the plan. It's not 100% finalized yet. Things could change, the alternative being everyone flies into Guatemala City. We grab a couple of buses, drive into Salvador, do part of the seminar there, come back to Guatemala, and you fly out from the same place, Guatemala City. Confused yet? Well, you asked, and I'm not quite done with the arrangements yet. Anyway, in just a few days, I'll have all the information posted on the newexpat.com website. So, to get in on the early bird discounts, just shoot me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll ship out the info as soon as it's 100% finalized. All right, now, without further ado, here by very popular demand is what so many of you listeners have been waiting for. Or not. Now, you longtime listeners have heard me sporadically talk about those Latin mating and dating sites. They're hugely popular now. And on that note, I've been saving this email that explains it all. Talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great. Well, there ain't so much great. And there's a lot of bad and ugly. So, for all you lovelorn gringos sitting on that sofa up in Cleveland, licking your romantic wounds, so to speak, and your Cheeto-stained fingertips, there is that fantasy, as one emailer puts it, to hook up with a good old-fashioned, old-school woman, a lot like good old mom, but better looking, undrenched in feminism, and again, unlike mama, also quite hot and dripping with sex appeal. In other words, they know the Shakiras and Sofia Vergaras are out there, but they're all down in Latin America. But is it reality or fantasy? All right, here goes. This one comes from Kevin, aged 53. He says, Johnny, sorry that this email is so long and so disjointed. I spent the last half year on foreign lady mating match and Cupid websites, and I'm telling you that someone has to write a book about it. How in the hell do you maneuver through those sites? Talk about minefields. Talk about lie after lie after fib. We get slapped down left and right, yet we still keep coming back. Hey, I'm the perfect example. But as you'll see, I don't write well. And unfortunately, I think in disjointed chunks like I write. And if you can believe it, I digress even more than you do, Johnny. That's why I say if someone would write a book on it, how to maneuver through these sites, I'd buy 10 of them. He says the best way to explain these mating, match, and Cupid sites is to say they're pretty much exactly like that old show, Let's Make a Deal, with the grand prize being behind one of the three doors. You remember that show? The contestants, after being given some hints, can pick door number one, number two, or number three. Come on down. And I'd say the odds are pretty much the same. You have a 33% or a third chance to find a diamond in the rough. But your chances are much slimmer than that. Because it's lovelorn men who are going on those sites who are not very good in the love and romance department. We all have histories to prove that. We don't really have a 30% chance of hitting the jackpot, as in this case, the statistics lie. The problem is we keep picking the wrong ones over and over because we get sucked in by scammers. Oh, and they know just how to hook you. Whereas the nice girls often don't know how to come off so well when they're writing up their resumes and putting together their profile, which is what you do when you sign up for those sites. So keep in mind that the good girls, the ones you really want to hook up with, aren't practiced at all at the art of gringo seduction. Anyhow, Johnny, with the odds being 30%, you're going to find a winner. Don't ever think that by, for example, having three particular girls you're chatting with, that one is going to be a winner. The good ones often don't come off very well at all in their profiles and photos. And us men, we always judge a girl by her appearance. So right off the bat, the ones that put up the best photos are the ones that get all the action. Then he says, believe it, Johnny. No lie, it really is the let's make a deal scenario. For example, behind door number one is a total scammer who has found a way to make a living off of these sites. It's a job for them. They're making lots of money. Many of them are stringing along 5, 10, even 20 gringos at the same time, all of them sending her, by Western Union usually, 50, 100, even 500 bucks a month, sometimes a week. And get this, Johnny, 100% of the time, they've never even met her, or even been on Skype or spoken to her on the phone. I should know, it happened to me twice. I'll go into that a bit more later. But let's talk about door number two. Not a very good choice either. She's not a scammer. She appears to be a good girl, but she's got so much baggage, even more than you have. But she's smart enough to never lay it all out on you right away because you'd definitely back off. You'd be gun-shy. But eventually all that baggage will come to light. She'll let it out in dribbles like the Chinese water torture. And then, because most of us are kind-hearted gringos and 50 or 100 bucks doesn't mean much to us, we'll start having sympathy for her. We'll have bonded a bit because we've been talking for a week or two. Little by little, you'll hear about her plights, her setbacks, her abusive exes, and the money she owes, and the cell phone that's broken, all that stuff. But damn, is she cute. She's nicer looking than anyone you ever went out with before up in the States. And we're all suckers for that, aren't we? Oh, and by the way, these nice ladies that have way too much baggage, they learn quickly not to lay it all out on you. Generally, when they first signed up on the mating site, they did tell all right away. The past due electric bills, grandma's expensive gout medicine, the 5- and 8-year-old whose dad ran off a long time ago. Scary stuff when you find all that out in the first 20 minutes you're talking to her. And that's why you'll find out a lot of these ladies have been on those dating sites for months and months, even up to a year. So they've learned early on not to pile on the bad news or they'll lose their big fish. That's why when you start communicating with a girl, you should always ask her how long she's been on the Match or Cupid site. It's an innocent question. They won't lie about that. But you can glean a lot from a person just by knowing how long they've been on the site. Because I found the best and most honest girls you'll meet are ones that had just signed up. They're the innocent ones. They haven't learned how to role play yet. The ones that have been on just a day or two, or perhaps a week. Most of those ladies are like open books and they'll tell all. It's only after they've been hardened a little bit, have had dozens of guys contact them, half of them being perverts, asking for naked pictures for money, etc. So after a week or two of that kind of abuse, they change their game. Oh, and here's a little tip. You can always tell if a lady's juggling 10 or 20 or 50 different guys by her responses. Don't ever think you're the only one and you've got that special place in her heart. That won't happen, if it ever truly does, till after a few weeks of communication and she's sifted through all the others. So how do you know she's juggling a dozen guys? Easy. For example, you, the gringo, might explain in a nice big paragraph what kind of work you do or where you live, what your house is like, and she'll answer with one or two words. Yes, that's nice. Or she might say, my house has a garden, two bedrooms, and a bathroom. So if you're writing 100 words to her two or three, you know she's juggling her responses with 10, 20, who knows how many guys. Which brings us to door number three, the diamond in the rough, who can easily be confused with the girl behind door number two, the one with all the baggage. No one is free of baggage, of course, and usually you're bringing more to it than she will. That's why you're on those Cupid sites in the first place. You're carrying all those failed romances, divorces, etc. with you. So door number three, the girl who's the diamond in the rough, has her baggage, and what she's looking for is a nice, good guy to lay some of that baggage off on. And if she's a nice, honest woman with a good heart, why not? You could be that guy. After all, when she finally lays out all of her problems and tells you, for example, she's got a $1,200 loan she's paying on and doesn't seem to be able to knock down the principal at all. You almost can't believe it's something that causes her to lose sleep at night. $1,200? To most of us, a $1,200 debt isn't even worth mentioning. The point is this. Soon enough, you're likely to find out the problems the girl behind door number three has are minuscule compared to yours. Johnny, sorry, I'm digressing again. Anyway, I want to say, most Americans on this site have no idea when they run across a diamond in the rough. Because almost all of us, 100% of us, newbies on the site anyway, automatically pick door number one. The con artists, the ones that use their feminine wiles to get money out of you. They're the ones with the stunningly sexy photos, often even posed and professional. And I have to say, I've been conned twice myself. And worse yet, even when you know or have high suspicions she's a con artist, you still keep talking to her and communicating with her as if you actually had some kind of chance. Nope, I'm not finished telling you about this, not by a long shot. Later on, I'll tell you the hints on how to sort these girls out. Let's see, what else? For one thing, the Latin dating sites are not at all like their counterparts on Match.com up in the U.S., where you're looking for a relationship with an American girl. I'm not going to give anyone advice about that, except to say if you thought going to bars and discos where you live was the definition of looking for love in all the wrong places, you ought to try the Latin Cupid sites. First off, 98% of American guys don't speak Spanish, and 98% of Latin girls don't speak English, which is a good starter question when you first start talking to a lady. You say, how good is your English? My Spanish sucks. I'm using Google Translate or whatever. Because one of the big red flags I have to warn you about is when a Latin girl speaks English. More on that later. Except to say I'm very, very suspicious of Latin ladies who put on their profile that they're fluent in English. But at first, like every gringo, I was so charged up because I got such good responses right away. And most Latin ladies will respond with such warmth and niceness. Right off the bat, you can hardly believe it. You're not used to that kind of treatment. They're using sweet terms to address you right away, like cariño, corazón, mi amor, the kind of lovey-dovey words and phrases you don't hear on dates up in the States until you've been together a while. So right away, in their texts, the Latin ladies get pretty intimate, which is fine and makes you feel special, till you find out most Latinas use those very terms with almost everyone, including taxi drivers, waiters, salesmen. But if they get sexy within the first few paragraphs or the first day, whatever, that's a big red flag. More on that later, too. Johnny, early on, perhaps about a year ago now, I tried a lot of different mating sites. The Asian sites, those are subcategories, Russian sites. But I always was drawn back to the Latin dating sites. I guess mostly because of logistics. If you hook up with a Russian lady, you either got to visit Russia, which is almost an impossibility for the average gringo, or you have to ship her to wherever you are. That means getting them a visa and all kinds of crazy stuff. And what if she's a nutcase? Then you're stuck with her and she knows where you live. Same thing with Asian girls. They're halfway around the world. Same problem. And Latin America is just a couple hour flight. Plus, for me anyway, there's something about those Latin girls that the Asians and Russian girls just don't have. Anyhow, the first thing you'll find out when you probe into the Latin mating and Cupid sites is that they're broken down in subcategories too. There's Mexican Cupid sites, Colombian, Argentina, Panama, Dominican Republic, Peru, all of them. So you've got general Latina Cupid sites and specific ones, which is good, for example, if you're honing in on one country that you like. Maybe it's a Latin country you've been to before, you've heard good things about, or maybe even have a friend living there you can hang with. So if you sign up for one of the general Latin Cupid sites, it encompasses all Latin countries. And normally it runs around $30 a month. And unless you're a complete loser, you really only need a month to make enough contacts to take a trip down and have some dates. But just to warn you, if you sign up for the general Latin Cupid sites, you'll get pop-up windows all the time saying, congratulations, you've just been awarded a free month with the Mexican Cupid site or the Peruvian one or the Colombian one. And there's so many thousands of girls on those sites, it gets out of hand in a hurry, so you can be overwhelmed. I say stay on the general Latin site or the country you most want to visit. In my case, it was Colombia. Here's something you find out in a hurry. It's guys that pay for the membership. Women don't have to. Actually, the way it's set up, it's kind of sneaky. As it turns out, anyone can sign up for nothing. Put your profile up there and all that. And if you find some girl or girls you're interested in, tough luck because you can't write them an email and contact them. As soon as you try, you get a little pop-up window that says, sorry, neither of you are paid-up members. And in order to communicate back and forth, one of you at least has to pay the membership. And who's that going to be? 99% of the time, it's the guy. And if you think about it, 30 bucks a month is a lot of money for a woman who's on the Match or Cupid websites almost always because it's kind of a last desperate move for a person who's had bad relationships, as you have, almost always has a kid or two to support, is in a dead-end job and having a hard time with money. And not surprisingly, all of them seem to have a friend or a relative somewhere who's hooked up with a gringo and who's now living a nice first world life up in the States and is bragging to her friends about it. Makes sense. Can't fault a person for that. All right, meet Johnny again. I'm going to cut Kevin's email off right there. Thought I could finish this off today, but I can't. Didn't even get to the juicy stuff. Oh well, I guess when you digress as much as I do, time frames kind of slip away from you. We'll finish it off next show for sure.
You've been listening to the Expat Files Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy.